This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning. It is week 7 in the NFL, and we have Saints football coming to you in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome today at high noon versus the Carolina Panthers, the return of Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, yeah.
Last 2 years, he got to rehab his career and is now back in the Superdome, and the Saints, I'm sure, are going to give him a warm welcome back. Looking forward to seeing what he has in store now running this Carolina team, and also a familiar offensive coordinator in Joe Brady, who was with the Saints and also helped those LSU Tigers win a national championship.
Did he ever?
Some good news, Steve, right out the bat. Good morning, by the way. But yeah. We know that can't guard Mike. Michael Thomas will not play this game still. He's dealing with an ankle and hamstring issue. But also the number two wide receiver, Emmanuel Sanders, on the reserve COVID-19 list and also out for this game.
That's tough. Our other wide receivers have got to step up, and I think Cook's going to have a big game. I think Cook will have a big game. I think Kamara will have a big game because of it. You know, Drew's going to find guys to throw to, and I think he's trusting Traquan more, and I think he's really trusting the new guy. Help me with his name.
Juwan Johnson? Marquez Callaway, sorry.
Marquez Callaway.
What's funny is he's Marquez wearing number 12, and Marcus Colston was obviously number 12. Yeah. I thought that was great.
But look, Teddy Bridgewater is a class act. I mean, I have ultimate respect for that guy. He came back from a catastrophic injury a few years ago. And, you know, I was telling you a story when I got in here a little earlier when we had this one of those practices there at Tulane, one of those nights over there. He doesn't have to come over and talk to me for any reason whatsoever. But he spent about 30 minutes chatting me up about offensive football and, you know, my history and all that kind of stuff. And I thought it was the nicest thing in the world. And just a super personable guy. You could definitely tell that he has this charisma about him that you certainly would want to play for him. Has that leadership capability of him. And, of course, we saw what he did last year. When Drew was hurt, he came in for five tough games.
Yeah,
and won every single one of them.
That first one when the Saints had to go to Seattle right after the LA game, I was like, wow, that's a loss. There's no way the Saints can pull this out with Teddy B now, a quarterback.
No.
And they found a way to rally. It wasn't just Bridgewater, obviously.
No,
the defense,
wasn't.
Special teams.
They did, and everybody kind of rallied around that and stepped it up a little bit. But at the same time, if you watch him, he is he's very controlled when he plays. There's nothing erratic about him or in a hurry about anything. He's a real cerebral guy, super smart guy, doesn't make any mistakes. I mean, rarely makes mistakes. Doesn't turn the football over, protects the football well. Like I said before, he doesn't scare me, but he concerns me quite a bit because, look, he's a good player, and we've seen what he can do. But coming back here is going to be a little bit different, you know, for him. I know that's going to be kind of strange for him coming back here. And at the same time, who that defense is going to get after is as butt, you know that.
Who that defense, and also 3,000 Who Dat Nation members will be in the Superdome
3,000.
Today. 3,000.
It's still going to look like it's completely empty. 3,000 doesn't even.
I'm interested to see what the sound meter ends up being. I know that
Won't be any higher.
You don't think it'll get?
I don't think it'll be any higher at all. I don't think 3,000 people can make enough noise.
I'm hoping it gets over the 80 decibel minimum at least.
Maybe if I'm like big bus or something pulled in there or something, or a tractor or something.
I was wondering, are these 3,000 allowed to bring in artificial noisemakers? I know the answer, no, they can't. I was just saying.
I know. But look, I don't think it's going to make it hasn't made a difference so far. And I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek from the standpoint of course our fans make a difference. They make a huge difference. But the full accompaniment of our fans, not 3,000.
Yeah,
you know, those 3,000 people can yell their ass off, and it's going to be bless their heart. You know, they're going to be there in hoodat fashion, but it's hard to make a lot of noise when you're used to having 72 in there.
Yeah, with the minimum fans that have been allowed as it is, those third down plays when those fan impact plays just have not been a factor at all.
No.
Obviously, it's not going to be something that's going to be a case today, but this Panthers offense hasn't been, I guess you would say, on the elite end of things, but they're still getting the job done, and it's pretty surprising considering of all the turnover on this staff. Do you think that connection of Teddy Bridgewater and that familiarity with Joe Brady had something to do maybe with things being more gelling early on?
That jump-started both of them and sort of jump-started this offense. There's no question in my mind about that. He was used to what he wants, and now it's sort of like, okay, I know exactly what you need. So, he's way ahead of the game at this point. But Mike Davis, the running back they have, is flat getting it done.
Yeah, I have McCaffrey in my fantasy league, and I had to pick up Mike Davis, and he's been doing well for me.
Yeah, and look, they're going to run the football. They're going to try to run the football first and foremost, as any team, as any offensive team would want to. I still think it's the most important thing in a football game, offensively, is to be able to control the football by running it. I'll get some pushback on that. People saying, oh, the game's vertical now, and it is. It's gotten a lot more vertical as far as how they approach things. But I still think that as far as controlling the football and possessing the football and keeping it away from the other team.
Right.
And then being able to exhibit and your will on that defense is still something the offense wants to do.
And this run defense has not been an issue, thankfully, with the Saints. But the pass defense has been a whole different story. Luckily, Janoris Jenkins will be back this week to add another body back there. But, we've seen everybody. It hasn't been just Marshawn Lattimore or a Marcus Williams. I know he draws a lot of ire from folks. It seems that whole secondary has had their issues. They've talked about the communication problems, which I guess from me being just from the outside, I don't understand what
But here's the thing, and I noticed this. In this league, when you see somebody get beat that deep many times, that's that's not a physical thing, okay? That's a mental error. There's a bust there. Somebody's thinking they got safety help, and they don't got safety help, okay? So they've got to get on the same page as to figure out what the defense is. Now, that to me, I'm thinking, okay, there's no way in the world that the secondary coach can be that non-communicative in being able to get his defenses across to these guys.
Especially somebody we know it's Aaron Glenn.
And not only that, but the part of it is, okay, you're a second-team guy, but those guys have all played a lot of football. Just because they're backups right now doesn't mean that they're backup players. They could be starting for a number of football teams, in this league. And so when you see that kind of stuff happen and you realize, okay, somebody's not doing the film work. Somebody's not doing either film work or understanding what the defense is, or the communication somehow, some way is not getting to them. So why is that? And so that would make sure that they first and foremost get that cleared up, because look, the front part of our defense is pretty good. Front seven, they can rock and roll.
And they were bringing it against Justin Herbert last week for sure with the return. Nice to
see
Marcus
Davenport guys breaking free all the time in the back, and it's kind of like they're all looking at each other, kind of pointing their fingers and raising their hands.
Shrugging their hands. Yeah, I don't like that one.
Did you, is that you or is that me? It's kind of like, I don't like that, because it's extremely visible for one thing. I mean, that's one reason why everybody notices it, because it's so visible. But the second part of it is it's killing us. The long pass play has destroyed us this year. I mean, anytime a team has gotten up on us, it's because of those long pass plays that have hurt us bad. That's the thing that's bothering me right now. Our back end of our offense, our defense has got to get squared away.
Yeah, and I think that we saw last week that pressure up front increased even more with the return of a guy like Marcus Davenport, the defensive end, and hopefully
he's back.
Yeah, he can get back into that rotation with Trey Hendrickson, who's been awesome to start this
season.
Trey
Hendrickson is a football playing Jesse. I mean, he is a guy that is out
and
there.
He's just out to get it.
100 miles an hour, and his hair's on fire all the time. I love watching him play. I mean, he's not the biggest guy. He's not the strongest guy. He's not the fastest guy with the best moves. But he brings this tremendous effort and this explosiveness off that edge all the time. And he ends up beating these guys all the time. And Granderson was doing the same thing. Those guys are sort of interchangeable. You know, I love watching that, you know, and they picked up a lot of slack, you know, for Davenport when he was out. But at the same time, I'm glad that Davenport's back. I think he is a rare talent. He's got to stay well. You know, you got to be present. You got to be in the moment to do anything.
Yeah, hopefully no more elbow toe issues with him. And I know he's had some lower foot, you know, those foot issues two seasons as well.
I got to tell you, I got injured a lot. Okay, and I missed a lot of games from time to time. But if there was anything that I could possibly play with, okay, and I'm not suggesting that these guys aren't, but I'm just saying that if there was anything that I could possibly play with, that was an injury.
Tape it up, shoot it up.
I'd chew up a couple of Vicodin and drink some coffee and let's go. I mean, you have to.
That's old school football.
Well, it's old school, but I think it's still the way that you have to play if you want to be relevant and you want to have your starters in there all the time. Because I still felt like, I was better than the other guy, banged up, you know, with a couple of painkillers in me than I was, you know, just sitting on the bench because I couldn't play.
Steve Kohr and Steve Geller here hanging out on First Take, getting you ready for kickoff in the Superdome at noon against the Carolina Panthers, who are 3-3. Saints are in second place, a half game ahead of them at 3-2. What's going to go down? We want to hear from you. Give us a call on the Mortgage Financial phone and text line. Got to get those eyes and communication right. That Saints cornerback, Marshawn Lattimore, talking about those mental busts and big plays in the secondary. We kind of touched on that a little bit going to break, Steve. And that's going to be an issue going forward because you got to figure.
Look, Marshawn,
Marshawn's
supposed to be our best guy. I mean, he's our lockdown corner, and he's got to step it up. He hadn't played his lockdown corner position very well this year so far that I've seen. He's made some big plays. He made a great tackle, the best tackle I've seen in
huge
years. In the way he, you know, jerked that tight end
overtime,
back.
Right?
But he's got to play like that all the time because we've seen him play at a much higher level than he's played right now.
Yeah, you know what? That's one thing about Marshawn. His tackling has always been on point.
He's real physical, yeah.
But now, man, the coverage just everywhere though in the secondary is off, and I know that's got to be killing the defensive coordinator,
you know,
who sets his specialty.
And you know what? I don't get it because, look, they do this. They do this all week long. They practice this stuff all week long, and they practice the exact routes that those guys are going to run, the formations that offense is going to run. That being Carolina today, so they know what those guys are going to run and the formations they're going to run. Now they're going to be a wrinkle or two, of course. Okay, that's why that's what happens when they're in a game plan. But look, I've seen him locked down to where guys maybe catch maybe one ball against him.
Or have been erased from the stat sheet, right?
Yeah, they don't even show up, you know. And I don't know kind of what the issue is with him at this point, you know. I've seen him play a lot better, and I don't know. Janoris, when he came, he brought a different element to the game because he has sort of that kind of gambler kind of feel to him, kind of a cowboy where he takes some chances. You know, he's going to get burned every now and then, but when he makes a big play, he's going to make a huge play.
Opener, Tom Brady, pick six.
Yeah, and look, you need some guys like that have a bad memory, if you know what I mean, because that way, you know, because they're going to get burned and they're going to get lit up, but hey, they got to forget about it. Next play, they may go sit pick six. He's brought that to the team, and I think he's got great ball skills, you know. So, and most of our defensive backs have pretty good ball skills. I'm pretty surprised. There's been some passes.
Malcolm had a horrible drop last week. Oh.
Yeah, that have hit him right in the hands.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I know why you play defense. But at the same time, most of our secondary guys have got pretty good ball skills. And so we haven't had that yet. And so I'm hoping that they start to turn that on. Now, that's all kind of a function of, you know, rushing the passer and sort of getting that guy off spot and you know, making him throw the ball out of time and things like that. But that's happened in the past just as much as it's happening now, because we're getting good pressure, you know, from our front seven. There's no question about that. And so I'm just hoping that they, whatever they had to get shored up over there to get them back on track as far as understanding what's going on or communicating or whatever the reason is that they're not playing as well as they should. They need to step it up to where they're they can be the strength of the defense. We had a great secondary a couple of years ago. I mean, they were really, really good, you know, and it's dropped off some, and there's no reason for it to.
No, especially during training camp. I know from me to Bobby to anyone that was attending these practices here was raving about how much the secondary was involved, knocking away passes, getting the interceptions.
Yeah.
And when this season going on right now, I tell everyone, it's like it makes me look like a fool for saying
no,
that during camp.
No, it doesn't
camp.
Make you look like a fool because they've got to be able to replicate what they do on the practice field, and then they got to be able to transfer that Sunday or Monday night whenever they're playing, you know. And if they don't do that, there's where the communication problem comes in. Somehow, some way, you know, they're getting in on the practice field when they're kind of, you know, the stakes aren't as high. Obviously, it's practice, right?
Is it because they were so familiar with the offense too?
It can be a lot of things, but they shouldn't be familiar with the offense as far as they know what we're doing offensively. So if it's an offensive team period, yeah, they know what we're doing. Okay, just like I know what our defense used to run against us.
Sure.
It was defensive. I'm like, okay, I know they're going to do this. I mean, it doesn't take you long to figure that out. And if you can't figure that out, then you don't belong out there at this point. But that's not the point. My point is when they're running scout team against our secondary guys, they need to replicate that again on game day. The same kind of stuff, the way they practice. And perfect practice makes you play as perfect as you can be. You're never going to play a perfect game as much as you try. I tried it forever, and I've never played a perfect game. You know, there's always something. Okay?
Yeah, Coach Payton mentioned that they're always chasing that. Always chasing that perfect game.
It's always. Like, everybody does. And that's the only way you get better is to chase that perfect game. But in order to do that, you got to have perfect practices. And there's times that I've had perfect practices. At least what I thought they were perfect practices, the best they could be. And it translates. If you have a good week, it translates over to the way you play on Sunday.
Now
I just don't understand what the communication problem is. That's easy fixed. That's an easy fix.
With the defensive issues with this team that's been through the 3-2 start,
yeah.
A lot of folks have also been critical of the quarterback play, the offense, but they're still putting up, you know, 31 points a game.
First of all, I don't know how anybody can be critical of our quarterback play. I don't understand that.
Well, they're not pushing it enough. Okay. For people. They're not pushing it downfield.
Well, they're doing what they've always done, okay? And just because it doesn't have that kind of bounce to it that we've seen before, that energy to it that we've seen before, you know, can be a lot of different things. You know, Mike Thomas has been out for a long time now, okay? He's the number one wide receiver in the league. I mean, he doesn't drop anything, you know? And he usually gets 10, 12, 13 balls thrown to him a game, you know? That makes a big difference, you know, when you have to double-team him. Now, all of a sudden, there's guys that are running free. Drew's got more targets to throw to, okay? So Emmanuel Sanders, I thought, was going to step in there and take over, and he did. He did a great job of that. I've watched him for years with the Niners and Denver, and he doesn't drop anything, you know, and he gets great yak. And so he was a great addition. I was really happy that we got him, but he's not going to be there today. So our younger guys have got to step up. Marquez has got to step up, and so does Traquan. And then Jared Cook, is he healthy again?
Yeah, he's been fine.
Okay,
he's practicing
so
all week.
I think this could be a game for him. Tight ends, these guys are vulnerable to the tight end. So this should be a huge game for him, but there should be a lot of stuff thrown now by Kamara as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's usually the second or third receiver anyway. And
Panthers run defense too, and they look to see a little bit susceptible where will Sean give us some more taste of AK and Latavius Murray today to try and, I guess, keep that Panthers offense also off the field.
Like I said before, and you'll hear me say this repeatedly just because it's a truism, you have to run the football. You just have to. You can't sit there and just say, okay, we're just going to throw the ball and become one-dimensional.
But you know Sean doesn't like to.
Well, I know that he gets off track sometimes, but I know that he also knows that the more balanced he is, and if we have 30, 29, 30, 31, 32 carries in a game, that translates pretty well into us winning a football game, because that means that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing in the trench. And it's still, this game is still won at the line of scrimmage, and whatever, you know, the scenario is, whether it's passing or whether it's running the football, it's still won in that trench. And if you can't get that done by running the football, you become one dimensional, and then you're in for a long afternoon.
Yeah, I think Drew Brees is going to like seeing that there have three corners that are definitely nicked up. One is out in Rasul Douglas, and then Dante Jackson, and a familiar face, and Eli Apple also at corner was questionable. But Ian Rappaport of NFL Network putting out there that Dante Jackson and Eli Apple are expected to play. I know that Apple has drawn a lot of ire about his end of service here, because there were just so many times he was getting beat in that secondary, but we're seeing those issues still carrying kind of over. So I'm not so sure that he was the sole issue there.
I wouldn't go and say that he's like a player that all of a sudden you're going to target and say, if he's out there, we're going to go after him. You might, okay, but I wouldn't be overconfident about him, because he'll end up picking it off or burning you somehow, some way. I would just make sure that, those guys, because of what they do, it's so visible. Okay, so yeah, he got a lot of criticism for the way he played his last part of the year here a couple years ago. You know, that was tough. But at the same time, I knew he'd surface somewhere. I mean, it's not like he's a guy that's, you know, just can't play anymore. He just can't play here.
Yeah, it was weird. He had a gig with the Raiders, but that ended up falling through in the offseason, then signing with the Carolina Panthers. It'll be just definitely interesting to see what if him back in the mix. And I know his mom will probably be in the Superdome as well. She is very active on Twitter and likes to let us all know about her son.
Well, good for her. I mean, hey, that as a parent, you know, you don't want to hear. Well, I'm not on them anymore, so it doesn't matter to me. But you always want to see your kids do good, you know, whether they're, you know, when they're playing. And certainly, you know, you turn some ire on somebody that is bad mouthing them.
Yeah, she didn't like what the Cajun Cannon had to say too much last year.
But hey, look, he's got no filter. But at the same time, I've known Bobby long enough. I've known him for 38 years. He's not gonna mince his words. He's not gonna stand back and say, "Oh no, okay,
you're right." The Cajun Cannon fires.
No, he's gonna let them have it, and he's gonna tell them the truth. And whether they like it or not, it's up to them. But he's gonna tell them what it is.
Steve and Steve here on First Take on WWL. Give us a call or text on the Mortgage Financial phone and text line, 504-260-1870, here on WWL Saints Radio. 3,000 Hoodettes in the fan, Steve, for today's noon kickoff between the Saints and Panthers. And it'll at least be good to have somebody in this dome today.
Well, I bet you those 3,000 have no voice when they leave that place. You know that? They'll have no voice whatsoever.
It's gonna be interesting to see how they're spread out, one, in the stadium, and then two, I mean, how much of a noise impact can it really be in that huge, huge arena that they're going
to
be in?
What if you have your wife with you? She has to six feet away?
No, I think you're all right.
You
can sit next to her, but I don't know. Maybe your kid might have to be in another row.
No, that'd be weird. You know, hey, I brought my kid to the game. Where's he at? Well, he's way down there. I can't sit next to him because of COVID. No.
I don't know. I was definitely hoping that we would have had some fans for that Monday night football game against the Chargers. Yeah. And I was thinking maybe because we were dealing with a little bit of hurricane madness leading up to that as well, that things were put on the back burner. But man, it's time to open things up.
It is time. I mean, look, you can't hide from a virus. Okay. I don't care what we do. Okay, I don't want to get off in this long tangent about that. We're still talking football, but you know, this affects the fans, and it affects the economy, and it affects the thousands and thousands of trickle-down businesses that are spun off of this franchise. And it's hurting our city. It's hurting our city bad. It's hurting our hospitality. It's hurting our restaurants. It's hurting our bars. It's hurting everything down here. And, they need to start opening it up.
Yeah, and hopefully there is more positive, I guess, after this week. And if all goes well with the COVID numbers and the testing.
Well, look, here's the thing, too. We're testing way more people now than we used to
very
test.
Very true, right.
So what's going to happen? You're going to have positives. More positives, okay? That doesn't mean that everything's going up, that doesn't mean that, that the COVID infections are going up. It just means that people are getting tested for it. So, like I said.
Well, if all does go well, we'll have 3,000 fans, and then the next home game will be 6,000 fans.
How about 60?
Maybe by the end of the year we can get to a full capacity dome. Hopefully. I don't know. It's definitely needed, though, especially.
It's really needed. It really is. Because, look, that we had this huge advantage, that dome field advantage that we had for so many years that was well known and hated around the league.
Oh, yeah. Anytime we get teams, players like, coming on, everyone talks about the Superdome.
About how loud it was and just, you know. And it's not that the fans are obnoxious or anything like that. They're not like Chicago's fans or something like that or Philly's fans.
Right.
You know, they're nice people. They just scream and they love their team, you know. But they raise hell and they're loud and they're sophisticated enough to know when to cheer and when not to cheer. And it tears the other team up. We always get some sort of crowd reinforced penalty two or three times a game when, you know, a visiting team is here, you know, and it's been affected by that.
Well, so, I think that that 3,000 fans is going to help impact and help our defense today.
I'd like to think so, unless they all got bullhorns or something. I don't know. Look, I'm for them, you know, yell. But I think all of them are going to leave with a headache and a sore throat and not have a voice.
Right, you'll know who was at the game tomorrow for anyone that was at the work going, hey, how are you doing? Did you see the game?
He must have been the game yesterday, yeah.
I know that we're going to see some interesting things from Teddy Bridgewater and the rest of the Saints players are going to be obviously welcoming their buddy back. Do you think that the limited 3,000 Who Dat faithful will give Teddy B a warm welcome since he helped this team so much last year with that 5-0 run?
Probably. Like I said, the people down here, they're classy fans. They're not rude and obnoxious.
I would figure cheer before kickoff, but once game time starts.
Well, once game time starts, look, you're on the other team.
Right.
Now it's a different story. You know, we still love you and everything, but not today. You know, and that's just the way it is. And I know, look, Teddy expects that too. I'm sure that he knows that, look, it's going to be he might get a warm, you know, applause at the beginning or something when they introduce him, if in fact they do that. And but you can rest assured that, you know, we need to knock him on his ass.
And I know he's had a few interceptions this season. The Saints secondary, though, the Saints in general, haven't been taking that ball away. And I guess a lot of people this. Is taking the ball away something you can really teach, or is it an instinct?
Well, it's practiced, and it's expected. Look, Bobby will tell you this, and look, we've talked about this for years. Defensive scoring is the number one stat when it comes to winning a football game. If your defense can score points, that puts you in about the 95th percentile to win that game. Okay? That's huge. And in this league, as close as this league is and as even as this league is as far as parity, defensive scoring is king. There's no question about that. So if you can, get a turnover and or fumbles, but usually, you know, interceptions, those types of things, that's huge. The change of possession and the hidden yardage that goes along with that is gigantic. And at the end of the game, if you added up all that hidden yardage on interception returns and field position, sudden change, all those types of things, it makes a huge difference in a football game. You don't only get a certain number of plays a game, but maybe 60 or 70 plays, something
to
like
give
that.
Drew Brees in this offense some more opportunities, obviously.
Yeah. And then once you get the ball and you turn it over to somebody like Brees, only good things can happen.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we've seen the Saints offense, while they've gotten so much, I won't say a ton of criticism, but there's definitely been talk about Drew Brees' arm and not being able to throw more than a 5-yard pass. But this offense, no matter what it is doing, is still being productive, which is mind-boggling to me as well, because it's definitely not the well-oiled machine it's been in the past, but they're still putting up the points. So I don't know. It's hard to argue of what they are doing.
No, you're exactly right. And I don't think there's anything wrong with Drew Brees' arm. I really don't. He throws the ball as accurate as he's always thrown it. Can he throw it as far, you know, being 41 years old as he could, you know, 7 or 8 years ago? No. But he's still accurate, and he's still as effective as he can possibly be. He's still a tremendous quarterback in this league. I have no issues with Drew Brees whatsoever, except that he's a great quarterback.
Yeah, and every day of practice, I'm watching him too, and I don't see this drop off. And I know it's frustrating, I guess, in game time when they're not able to spread the field for these for the fans. But
well, you're not going to see him. You know, you look at like
we're not
Justin
that kind of
Hebert,
offense really either. Right?
You know, throwing the ball, 75 yards on a rope down the field or across his body or something like that. I mean, that's a young, kind of a freak athlete kind of kid that can do that, you know, and Drew Brees has never been that way. His whole deal is accuracy. I'd rather have that than a guy that can throw it 90 yards.
I'm Steve Geller. He's Steve Kohr. Coming back, we're going to talk to Tony Down Under in Australia, joining us here on WWL Saints Radio. Give us a call on the Mortgage Financial phone and text line, 504-260-1870 on First Take. Here we are, Steve and Steve, getting you ready for a kickoff in the Superdome at high noon between the Saints and Panthers. We got Tony from Australia. Top of the morning to you, Tony. How you been?
Yeah, good, Steve and Steve. I'm just watching LSU, South Carolina. I didn't get to see that, so I'm watching it now. But I heard you talking about the secondary. I agree with you. The secondary, not only do they have to play discipline, they have to play with eye discipline. So they don't jump things too early. And the other thing, the Saints fans, they will be respective of Teddy when he comes on the field, and that's where it ends. And the other thing that I'm just amazed about is the Superdome holds over 60,000. Why on earth couldn't at least 20,000 be in there? Because then people would be sitting in every third seat.
Well, Tony, that's a great question, and nobody really knows the answer.
Let us direct you to our mayor.
Yeah, that's who's controlling this whole deal, and she somehow thinks that that's protecting the city, and so that's what she's sticking to.
It's still social distancing, and the other thing that maybe they could make imperative is everyone wears a mask, and so there's been no drama.
Well, everyone is going to have to wear a mask in the stadium. There's definitely, social distancing protocols will be in place for the 3,000 that are allowed in the Superdome. But everyone that is inside will still have to wear masks for sure.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah,
I got yelled at for not wearing mine.
Did you?
Yeah.
But every a person in every third seat, the social distancing would be there. So 20,000 wouldn't be a problem.
Well, we're hoping those numbers do end up getting, up and up every week, because this week, like we've been talking about, there's 3,000, all goes well. The next home game will be 6,000, but it's definitely not going to be anywhere to what we're used to, Tony. And you might be giving us some more, more action and more lively energy from Australia than we'll have in the Superdome.
And on a bright side, I get to watch the game live, so I'll be shouting, "Who that?" at the TV, and who's actually going to beat them Saints? Not Teddy Bridgewater and his kitty cats.
we got to stop those cats from purring for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They'll be claws after the end of the day.
Well, it's going to be a good game. I tell you that, Tony. I think it's going to be a good game, and I guess I'm a little reluctant, but I'm going to say that we're probably. A 7 or a 10 point, I don't want to say favorite.
That's what exactly, Steve.
Seven or 10 points will win by. But again, anything can happen in this. I just don't want it to come down over the last 2 minutes where I'm having to grab my ass because, we're going on, we're having to tie it up or we're having to, go on a drive to. And I just don't want that. I want us to go out and execute well enough that we don't have to wait for that.
The good thing is, Steve, with if it ever does come down to a field goal, you got to feel pretty good at least with Will Lutz around.
Oh, he's
we've seen
money.
So many. I'm sure you saw the quadruple doink yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. No, look, this Lutz is he's money. There's no doubt.
Money in the bank for sure. We got a noon kickoff coming up next hour on the Fans First Take here with Steve and Steve. We got Mike Dettillier with his notebook, taking a look at some of the college players, brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Health Systems. Coming back here on WWL Saints Radio after the news at the top of the hour right now. Oakwin Heart Rolex time check, 9:09, as we're getting you ready for noon's kickoff in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome between the New Orleans Saints and the Carolina Panthers. 3-3 versus 3-2, Steve. And I know the Carolina Panthers have definitely been a team, to me, has been a surprise this season because pretty much left, I think a lot of folks left them for dead after a whole new coaching staff in there, and basically you have a new quarterback. It's funny not seeing Cam Newton there anymore. And it's Teddy Bridgewater over there.
And McCaffrey's the one they miss.
Oh, and their top offensive threat, he's not around.
He only had more yards combined than anybody last year. But look, it's like anything else. You bring somebody like a Joe Brady over there who knows Teddy, okay, and has that function with the ability to coach that quarterback up in such a good way. He was with him with the Saints. Okay. So there's a lot of familiarity there. So look, they still got good players and those players haven't forgot how to play. So a new coach coming in, there's some adjustment, but I don't think it's one of those things where you say, wow, they got a new coach, they're going to be cellar dwellers, this year. They've got good enough players and enough of good players that they're still going to be okay. And they're still going to be formidable, especially for us.
Yeah, you look at this, for me, it was always when you were playing the Panthers, you knew that you were getting a defense that was going to be pesky all day. The pesky Panthers defense was going to get after you. They had a guy in Luke Kuechly that obviously
they're not quite the same, right?
But
yeah, Luke Kuechly was a different breed of cat, okay? There's no question about that. I mean, he had instincts. He's kind of like our Mario.
DeMario Davis.
DeMario Davis. I mean, that's a guy. That guy makes more plays. If you watch him, he makes more plays for us than you can imagine. It seems like every time I look, I'm watching a tackle, he's in on it. Somehow, some way, he's in on it. Full energy, hairs on fire all the time the way he plays. I mean, and smart. Kuechly was just like that, had instincts, but DeMario Davis is a lot like that. And so you take somebody that away from you in the defense. That's a huge loss.
Yeah, I was surprised that one of the questions I asked Teron Armstead about this Panthers defense was the differences that you see. And he's like, honestly, you really don't see that much of a difference. They're doing a lot of the same things they were doing before with Matt Rhule.
Well, look, those players know how to play a certain type of defense. And so why change that? Now you're trying to stuff a square peg into a round hole when these guys are used to playing a certain way and they've been successful with it. You don't need to change a lot. There might be some different terminology that they might use, but other than that, the defenses are pretty much the same. There's only a certain number of ways you can line up 11 guys to have a sound defense. You know what I'm saying? You can't really, you can't jockey around that too much because if you do, offensive coordinators and quarterbacks in this league are smart. They're going to check to something, and they're going to kill you.
Do you think that Joe Brady's, his epic climb up the coaching ladder, is that something maybe Coach Payton kind of looks at and goes, I don't know if he's not jealous, but kind of one of those things where this guy basically took my offense and is gaining notoriety off of it and obviously having success too?
Well, look, I mean, Sean Payton has a great coaching tree already started from him.
Absolutely.
And you look at, Walsh, and you look at Giants guy, Parcells. Bill Parcells, Man, and you look at those types, and you see where the coaching trees come from off those and then spun out of those types of coaches. That's a tribute to those coaches. So I think Sean's probably if I know him right, I think I do, that I think he's probably pretty proud of that.
Okay.
Now, even though he has to face the guy, but at the same time, he knows what he's going to do. Okay? So Dennis Allen is going to say, hey.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah. Let's get together. And I think I know what his tendencies are going to be. And do you? And I think that they'll probably play it like that. I would certainly, if I had a bunch of my students, I guess, that went on and were successful in doing things that I taught them professionally.
Must be the teacher's doing pretty good, right?
I'd be pretty proud of that, And Sean Payton, to me, is still, to me, he's, in the top one or two coaches in the league and has been for a number of years. He's still there.
It just always amazes me that the the offensive genius that comes from this Saints team. We haven't seen a guy like maybe a P. Carmichael Jr. move on anywhere else. But a guy like Brady, like I said, it's amazing he went from just an assistant to then in college a passing game coordinator, obviously helping a team win a national championship. And now offensive coordinator, you got to think head coach isn't too far away from this guy.
You know what, too, though? You got to understand this. Sometimes position coaches are and coordinators are best at position coaches and coordinators. A lot of times they don't have aspirations to be a head guy. You know, it's hard to believe, but true it can be. That's like sometimes guys don't want to be heads. They'd rather stay right where they are.
The money's better, though, at the head coaching game.
Well, it's way better, but still position coaches in the National Football League aren't – they're paid a lot of money. Okay, it's not like they're, you know
– making pennies, right.
No, they're still doing really – they're doing a whole lot better than me. Okay.
No, if they're doing a whole lot better than you, I don't even know what they're doing better than me then.
Shoot, if I had your money, I'd burn my
money. Oh, please. Steve, we'll come back with the guy with the real big bucks. Mike Dottillier is coming next here on First Take. Give us a call on the Mortgage Financial phone and text line, 504-260-1870 on WWL. And it is time for Mike D's Notebook, a look at where Mike Dottillier rated some of today's players coming out of college, brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Health System, a nationally recognized hospital, patient-centered excellence. Mikey D, how you doing this Sunday morning?
I'm doing great. Mikey. I stayed up last night and watched the end of the World Series game, and man, I got my treat.
There you go. That guy kind of looked like Daniel Jones running to home. The Turf Monster ate him.
but he had the winning score. Jones didn't.
That's true.
guys.
Mikey, we're looking at this Panthers offense, and obviously it looks very familiar coming into this game. We know the offensive coordinator well, but a guy who's really been impressive, I guess, this year, you got to look at a wide receiver in DJ Moore for this Panthers squad has really come a long way.
Yeah, you know, he's a former first-round pick. He really hit his stride last year, over 1,100 yards receiving. And he's the guy that, Teddy looks for in certain down distance situations. You know, without McCaffrey, you got to find a guy that you can sort of count on that's going to be there. Now, Teddy's not a guy to push the envelope throwing the football downfield. And they brought in a guy like that, Robbie Anderson, who really is more of a stretch guy. But just look at his stats. He's averaging just a little over 10 yards a catch. So you can see that Joe Brady is trying to incorporate kind of what he did with this, you know, had some say in with the Saints and also at LSU into this Carolina Panther offense where it's a lot of short intermediate stuff. And then every once in a while you throw the deep ball, but DJ's really talented. He has really come along as a route runner. He was a little rough around the edges. You could see all the talent he had as a receiver. But his route running skills needed some perfection, and he's really done a great job with it. I'm telling you, working with Joe Brady, he's got a chance to be special in Carolina. Just that's Joe's specialty, really, is in the pitch and catch part of the game, especially at wide receiver. So they've got two threats there with Robbie and DJ, despite not having McCaffrey in the lineup another game. Again, offensively, I think their weak point is offensive line. You can see that they've had breakdowns different times in games, and the Bears took it to them.
Yeah.
They took advantage of every breakdown up front. And so the Saints have to do the exact same thing. They gotta put Teddy in a very uncomfortable position throwing the football, because while you can say he knows the talent on their Saints defense, the Saints also know the real good and maybe some of the negative that Teddy doesn't do as well. So it's a real chess match today between the old master himself of play calling and Sean Payton and the protege and Joe Brady.
That's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be like a chess game. I enjoy that. But I was telling you earlier, I didn't know if you were listening or not, Mike, but Teddy Bridgewater is a guy that doesn't move real fast in anything. He's real concise and real determined to do everything just the right way, but he doesn't go about it in a fast manner. And when you watch him play, everything is controlled, and he doesn't turn the ball over very much. He protects the ball very well, and he doesn't make many mistakes. And we've seen that last year with the five games that he won for us. Look, we had to have some guys rally around him, but nevertheless, he did a great job.
I think, you know, his greatest attribute, and I got to talk to Joe last year when he was at LSU about Teddy, and so I knew, you know, just how much he liked Bridgewater. And, you know, his thing was, is something I saw last night with LSU too, with T.J. Finley, was his comfort level in the pocket. And Joe always brings that up, that he thinks that that's a missed part of the game for quarterbacks, that maybe evaluators don't look at as much, but should. Their ability to feel very comfortable in the position that they're in. And he says, you know, for some quarterbacks, they can improvise and they can move around and make a throw kind of sidearm or, you know, half over delivery. And it works. But he said, you know, for the rest of us humans, you know, you got to do it a certain way. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, you know, I thought immediately of Teddy, because this was during the stretch when Teddy was playing when Drew had hurt his thumb. And I think he was sort of telling me that that's something that he's looking for in a quarterback. He's looking for that guy that's going to feel very comfortable, even under heavy duress.
Yeah.
And isn't that Teddy? I mean, exactly what you said. He sort of repeated but he looks for that in a quarterback because he thinks that's a trait sometimes where a guy like Mahomes and Russell Wilson, maybe they can get away with it because of improvisational skills.
Yeah.
But, you know, the rest of the humans that play that position, they're not – you know, they don't have that talent level like Mahomes or Russell and movement skills to do it.
Have to rely a little bit more on poise, you know. Yeah,
right.
You're right. Let me ask you another question. Derrick Brown, tell me about him.
I'll never forget the week before LSU played Auburn last year. I was talking to Bebe, and he was telling me, man, listen, any way you can get this guy declared ineligible, because he's like a grown man. I mean, you talk about a big guy in the middle. And if you think about it last year, that LSU-Auburn game, that was the closest game LSU played in all season long. Man, Auburn's defense was really good that day. Kevin Steele does a fantastic job, but he had that big guy in the middle. And Derek's a load. I mean, he's, you know, they list him, whatever, 320, 325. Come on, he's tipping them scales a little
he's
bit more than that.
Yeah.
You can see, you know, if he's 320, I want to weigh myself on that scale. Because I guarantee you, there's something a little wrong with that. But it's his quickness and his get-off ability as a big man that jumps out at you. And he pushes that inside pocket. A lot of times, Steve, what he does, he tries to get under your pads and almost forklift you right back into the lap of the quarterback.
Yeah.
And so we saw it last year. A couple times he did it against the LSU offensive lineman. But he's done that throughout his career. He's a physical player at the point of attack. And, you know, when you 6'4" plus, 325 plus, but can run.
Yeah, he's
like
powerful. Yeah,
kid.
He's powerful, and then he gets his hands on the inside, and then he's an explosive guy. He's a problem.
So that's the scary point with him, and he's just a football pup, so to speak. You know, him being his rookie season, and he's finding out the technical part of the game as these guys maybe aren't as big or as fast as him, but man, they know how to tie you up.
Yeah.
So he's gotten better. And in hearing Matt Rhule talk about him with his arms and his hands, because I think a lot of times, you know, maybe in high school and college, you're bigger and faster and stronger than everybody else. You hit the NFL.
Everybody's the same as you.
And they can match up.
Yeah.
But he's a force in the middle. And, you know, without Kawan Short and without Luke Kuechly, they've been able to hold forth pretty well. Now, if I'm the Saints in this game, one of the things has been Drew Brees has just been awesome against the Panthers throwing the football. I mean, he's been just terrific. Mm-hmm. And so your inkling would be to test that Panther secondary. But we've also seen that this football team is so much better when they've got great balance in being able to run the football. And so now he becomes the guy in the middle now, without Short, without Kuechly. You got to stop the run. And so he plays a huge element in this football game. And as for a rookie, they've given him a lot of responsibility to be that guy that can plug up those inside lanes that you're going to see. So, again, I go back to it that history doesn't repeat itself, but it has a lot of similar rings. And in this game, seeing how Drew has played against them in the past and how he's wheeled off W after W after W against them, everybody says, oh, well, they lost the final game 2 years ago. No, well, Drew didn't play that game. That was Teddy Bridgewater that started in that final game. Man, Drew has really played great against the Panthers throwing the football. You got the signs today that this might be itchy, and I want them to run the ball and have balance, but I think this is a game where Drew's throwing the football.
Well, we know that Michael Thomas not playing in this game, Mike, and Adam Schefter, ESPN's Adam Schefter, reporting this morning that he underwent an MRI and it revealed a grade one strain that's expected to sideline Can't Guard Mike now for 2 weeks and is in danger of also missing that Chicago's Bears game. I know we have a guy like Marquez Callaway and even Juwan Johnson's getting brought up for this. What is that going to mean for this Saints wide receiving core going forward with more time of not having their top target?
Well, that grade one tells you the story, and that's a 2 to 3 week injury. Again, how well you can come back from it is the question mark, because what you don't want to do is pull it the second time. Then you're out for a long period of time after that. What that means, Alvin Kamara's getting a lot more touches
as a
runner and a receiver. I can guarantee you that.
Yep.
We can talk about Callaway and Johnson and Austin Carr and all these other guys. All I know is you're going to trust the guy that's been there with you. I do think Callaway, though, has some rapport with Drew, because Drew's not throwing him the football because he likes him. He's throwing it to him because he gets open. It's interesting to watch his development.
Yeah, and then he catches it. Yeah, it's a good thing about it.
And he catches it. Man, listen, and he's a tough guy. And he played on that Tennessee football team. Man, he ain't had no quarterback close to that. I mean, those passes were all over the board. Man, you had your life at risk reaching out for a pass because they strung him out when he was playing there. I do think this means a lot more for today and next week of Alvin Kamara being a huge part of this game plan, which means to me, Latavius Murray got to see the ball more. Because
right.
I think you got to kind of supplement that. If you're going to give the ball to Alvin out in the flat as a receiver, then Murray's got to be
the tackles guy, yep.
He's got to be your hammer guy. Again, the other guy, too, is, and we all know how much Drew loves to throw to the tight end, how big of a compliment here is going to be Jared Cook, because now it puts a lot of spotlight on him. And Drew loves that stuff underneath where he can hit Cook, and Cook being a big man that can roll with the ball, that becomes a part of it. But without Thomas this week and most likely next week, that means Alvin Kamara, man, if you got him on a fantasy football team, you better put him up front real quick, because he's going to be catching the ball and running it quite a bit. And I think Latavius Murray has a big part in this game also as a runner and a receiver.
Yeah, yep. Echoed my thoughts exactly, Mikey. I'm thinking Alvin's going to be – he's our second leading receiver anyway, and he's just going to get more balls thrown to him. Cook will get more balls thrown to him, and then I think what's going to happen is that they'll be able to pound Murray, giving Alvin a break from running between the tackles. But
and I do think running the ball – it's old school, Steve. Come on. But
it's still king, Mike.
You got to get in the box.
Yep.
Then I can throw the ball over the top then.
Yeah, it's still king. If you can control, if you control the football offensively with running the football, there's so many different things you can do. And look, it's still – I know the game's more vertical, and its evolution has been that way over the past few years. But running the football is still king. It's going to still be one at the line of scrimmage.
Okay, Steve, answer me the question, and I always get the right one. As a lineman, don't you rather run block than pass block?
if they told me, hey, look, all we're going to do is run the football today, I'd be like, Well, I can't even say it on the radio, but yeah, I'd be really, really excited.
No, most linemen, that's what they love to do. They want to pound it up on you and physically kind of beat you down and take over the will of that opponent. Yep. And one of the things that's different from when you played is, Steve, they don't have the depth in the NFL like they did years ago along that defensive front.
No, they don't.
They do rotate people, but, man, the quality of rotation isn't nearly as good as years back. And that's just because the game's changing. And a lot of those guys now either are playing, you know, if they're the pass rushers, they're playing wide receiver or tight end. Mm-hmm. If they're the big men, they're playing along the offensive line, protecting that multi-million dollar quarterback.
You know what, too? You know, you get your three shade and your nose tackle that are big guys, and then your defensive ends used to be really big guys. Now they're not. They're kind of edge guys to where they're more hybrid, kind of outside linebacker, kind of slash defensive end type guys for the most part. But you don't have your big 300-pounders or defensive ends anymore. Those used to be routine.
Yeah, and people sort of forget that in today's age. All I know is, did a show and Julius Peppers was on, and you know we would tease him about, man, how much money he would make today if he was in his prime. And I said, man, I don't know how much money, but they'd be calling you partner.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be about a check.
Yeah,
you'd own part
you'd be
of
half
the
owner.
Team.
Yeah, exactly. And don't you remember the inside linebackers? They had those big thumpers. They'd all be Von Johnson size, where they were 250, 260 type
and
thing. You know,
it's not there anymore. Now of they're the coverage.
Yeah, they're hybrid. You know, they're big safeties. Exactly.
Yeah.
Looking at this matchup today, Mike, I know those NFC South games, they always seem to be ones that end up going down to the wire. How are you feeling about this matchup?
I like the Saints, and I think they win a double digit today. I think they win it by 10 or more.
Ooh, I like that, Mike. Yeah.
So Mike and I are right along the same lines. I said the 7-10.
I think eventually the chickens come home to roost. And you see the rebuilding on the defensive side, the football for the Panthers, offensive line issues. Come on, you got to take advantage of that. And knowing who you play the next 2 weeks, and their defenses aren't going to look like what you're going to see today. And so I think the Saints win, and I think they win by 10 or more.
Appreciate the time, Mike. It's brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Health Systems, a nationally recognized hospital, patient-centered excellence. Have a great one, Mike. I'll be
see
seeing you later
Mikey.
On.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
Steve and Steve here on First Take, coming back with your phone calls. Give us a shout on the phone and text line, 504-260-1870. Saints game day, taking on the Panthers at noon in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome here on WWL Saints Radio.
You know we got opportunity. We still got to take advantage of the opportunity. We still got to make the right reads. And you know, Sean knows he has to call the right plays at the right time. So, you know, it's a team effort. So hopefully we do what we got to do.
Saints running back Alvin Kamara talking about that Panthers run defense, Steve, giving up on average 122 yards on the ground per game and 4.9 yards per rush.
Well, that fits right with what we want. Because if we can get 4 yards a rush or 4.5, I guess it's probably a little better, you're getting it done. You're serviceable at that level, okay? Anything less than that, and now all of a sudden you're going to have to become one-dimensional. You've got to start throwing the ball around and swing passes and, you know, bubble screens and all that kind of I don't want to say, you know, glitz and glamour stuff, but nonetheless, it's just not straight smash-mouth football. And if you can get away with getting 4 or 5 yards a carry running the football, it's going to open everything up. Because what's going to happen, they're going to drop down 8 guys into the box to try to stop that run, and that's when Breeze can cut you to pieces.
And good news is the Panthers' top corner we know is out. Also, they have Eli Apple and Dante Jackson, who will play. Both are questionable, but are dealing with injuries. So that secondary is a mash unit as well, and not at the top of their game. Their top offensive target is out, and Christian McCaffrey. Our top offensive target is out, and Michael Thomas, also Emmanuel Sanders, which is a bit of a bummer. But every team is dealing with their issues and have to find a way. I think the Saints' offense, even without Thomas and Sanders, I know as crazy as it is, we could start just rattling off the weapons and Jared Cook, Taysom Hill. Have Traquan Smith.
Drew Brees, as good as he is, he makes a lot of those guys relevant from the standpoint of, look, if you can catch a football out there, there's a good chance you're going to get the ball thrown to you.
Right, he's going to find you.
He's going to find you. I mean, He sees everything. And the good part about it is we've got enough guys to get it done. It's not like, oh, man, you know, our backup guys are just, whew, they're way down the road. No, these guys are solid football players. They're not Mike Thomas, but who is? You know what I'm saying? So, look, it's you just got to be prepared, and you got to know what you got to do out there, because Drew Brees will trust you. And if he trusts you, you know, he's going to throw the ball to you, because, you know, he's had some chemistry with you before.
Yeah, hopefully this offense, too, can get off to a faster start. I think that's been an issue, too. It just seems to take a while to get those juices flowing right now.
You know, there's seasons that have done that. And I can go way back to, you know, when Sean first got here, that we started slow. And then there was other season where we started pretty fast, where we would, you know, the first drive was always touchdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's always that's a feel good notion. But you got to realize that it's a great way to start. OK, but it's a long game. I mean, it's a long game, and the halftime adjustments become real in this league. It's not like, oh, we're going to do some of the same things, but we're going to do this. No, they make tiny little adjustments. I mean, lots of them at halftime, and those make the biggest difference. And I think our Saints coaches do a better job of that than I've seen a lot of coaches do.
The Oakwin Heart Rolex time check, 9:46. Steve, getting you ready for that noon kickoff in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Up next, the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff with Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick. And then at noon, be sure to turn down the sound on your TV and turn up Saints Radio to sync up with the game to hear Zach and Deuce with the call of the game. I cannot wait to get into the dome today to see what 3,000 fans is going to be like, because it's got to be better than what we've experienced
before.
I'll
tell you before. What I'm interested in. I'm interested to see what the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, are going to do against the best Tampa defense that I've seen in a long time. They've got some hurt guys, but they're still the number one in every category.
And who's playing O-line for the Raiders?
And who's playing O-line? None of them.
None of them.
They're four starters. Four of the five starters are out. And they haven't practiced all week as an offensive line.
You talk about a D-line licking their chops.
Let me tell you something. Good luck with that. I mean, I'm just telling you, okay, I played offensive line my whole career, and did I need a lot of practice? No, because I really kind of knew a lot what to do. I just needed to get hit a couple times and sort of get my hands and my pad level and kind of get, you know, some kinks worked out and things like that. These are veteran guys, and they'll be okay. I mean, it's not going to be this huge jailbreak, but they're not going to play like they've played if they practiced all week. I'm just telling you, you got to have those practices. Good luck.
Another thing for Tampa Bay, we haven't even got into more drama headed down to that area with Antonio Brown signing with the Bucs.
You know,
just like Tom Brady. He needs another weapon over there.
You know what? There's a big question mark, though, on that. And
he'll be coming off suspension just in time for the Saints matchup.
And who knows if there's going to be more sanctions against him, from what I understand. But my point being, when he left the league, when he was with the Steelers that last year, he was arguably the best wide receiver in the whole league. I mean, he ate us alive when he came into the Superdome. And I remember that time. And I'm thinking, man, this guy is – Ben just throws it to him, and wherever it is, he goes and gets it and just takes it away from the defensive back and then runs for a touchdown. He's unbelievable. And he's not that kind of guy yet, and I would be really, really surprised if he's able to get back to that shape and form, and not only that, but condition.
Yeah, no, everybody talks about obviously staying in shape, but there's a difference between shape and game shape.
You can do all the exercise you want to in a gym and on a treadmill and running and running stadiums and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, I ran stadiums with weights on my back. I did all kind of stuff in the hot, like 2 o'clock afternoon Covington sun in July when it's like 120, you know. And when I got to training camp, I died. And, I mean, it was unbelievable because you have to practice football to get in football shape. And sure enough, because I was in good enough shape, it didn't take me very long to get into that football shape. But there's something different about pushing and wrestling against a big 300-pound dude every play that you can't replicate anywhere else.
Yeah, and I don't know. Obviously, I think Antonio Brown will be ready physically, and I can't count on him mentally to stay in the game, even though he seems to be – him and Tom Brady seems to be best buds, and they're looking forward to getting that reunion again. But if I'm Bruce Arians, I cannot be liking this addition to my locker room right now.
Look, I think that's one of the reasons why he's not here. I mean, I'm just there's you have to be a certain kind of guy to be to sort of pass the Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton test.
Yeah.
And the first thing they don't want to do is disrupt a locker room.
Well, he was told not to show up at his entourage, but he came to visit.
And what did he do?
I was driving to practice, and who do I see walking up Tom Benson Drive with a film crew? It was Antonio Brown. I thought I was on reality TV. I couldn't believe it.
With a film crew.
Right.
So you immediately told the head coach, up yours, I'm going to do what I want to do. And
especially a guy like Sean sees that right outside his building.
I'm just telling you what, that right then. He said, this guy better be lights out. Otherwise, there's no way we're going to sign him. And I guarantee you that I wouldn't have him on my team.
Coming back, wrapping it up here on First Take. Steve and Steve counting you down to noon's kickoff in the Superdome between the Saints and Panthers on WWL Saints Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.